On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap this week and two for Tuesday as the Carolina Gamecocks pick up two wins, one in baseball and basketball. I also preview the final game of the regular season for the men's basketball team and touch on the women's basketball team in the SEC tournament. I also preview the baseball team's upcoming weekend series and talk about some football notes. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 47 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and also where I don't take myself too seriously. You know, we're getting into the weeds with some of these sports, some nitty-gritty times with baseball, basketball, a lot of different moving pieces, and I try to bring a good, healthy level of analysis, but at the same time, if you scroll back to the very first episode, I just want y'all to think of me as a guy you're sitting next to having a beer with who loves the Gamecocks just as much as you do. I'm not an expert and I'm not trying to be, but with that being said, a absolutely fun and jam-packed episode as we have Two for Tuesday to go over, dubbing it Two for Tuesday as Carolina picks up a pair of wins in baseball and basketball on Tuesday night. We got preview series, we got last season, yeah, we got SEC tournament, football to talk about, have so much to break down. I'm really excited to do it with y'all. But of course, we have to start things off with our piece of Gamecock trivia slash fact. And let's see what we got today, y'all. Trivia today. What player from the USC 2017 men's basketball Final Four team finished his career with 219 three-point field goals, ranking second in school history? I actually think I know who that is. I'm going to say Dwayne Notice. Boom. Dwayne Notice nailed it. Shout out Dwayne Notice. Key part of that team. Key part of that team. When he was on, it really just stretched out that whole offense. And he was phenomenal in that tournament run. I mean, the whole team was. It went to the damn Final Four. But he was so good. When you needed the timely bucket, he was there. Shout out Dwayne Notice. Shout out that team. Man, what a time. We always have it. Our basketball team may be frustrating at times, but they can't take that away from us, right, people? Banners fly forever. Whatever. Yeah. It's awesome. It really is so cool. Such a fun, fun year. But before we jump into things here, I did want to talk about a nice, different change of pace here as all of the transfers from the football program were introduced. They had a big press conference. I actually was able to catch up on all of them. My boss, if you're listening to this, I swear to God, I was sending emails during that time. I swear. I promise. But nevertheless, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but let me just say, Shane Beamer has talked about wanting guys that fit the culture, wants to look at the person before the player, and I think that absolutely shined through. Each one of them, Spencer Rattler, Devonte Reed, Antoine Wells, right? Terrell Dawkins, probably missing someone else in there. Oh, Lavoisier Carroll. All of them seemed very humble and appreciative to be where they are, right? You had some guys like Lavoisier and Spencer coming from top programs. They were still very humble to be here and happy to be in Columbia. Then you had guys like Wells and Devonte Reed coming from smaller schools who were just blown away with everything and are just blessed and realize how fortunate they are to be in a Power 5 spot. And I think that each one of them can be contributors. Very, very excited. Got me jacked up, all sorts of jacked up for football. And let me tell you something. Spencer Rattler, if there are any doubters out there, still about his character, about his desire, his fight. Watch that press conference. And I promise you, your mind is going to be changed. That kid is hungry. He's incredibly well-spoken, seemed very respectful. But something he kept saying was he wants to be the best version of himself for the team. And he wants to help teach others what he knows, but he wants to learn from others. He wants to learn from Sat. He mentioned Luke Doty. He mentioned helping Braden Davis, the freshman. The guy is talking about individual workouts, setting up different meetings with these guys, the pass catchers. We got our guy, y'all. And he's hungry. And he wouldn't admit it, but you saw a little bit that he wanted to absolutely ball out this year. A little bit of a chip on his shoulder, I think, and I think he is in the perfect landing spot where the fans are going to embrace him totally, and he has a lot of room to have a lot of fun and grow and have some very, very amazing games in the SEC this year. So I'm stoked. I'm stoked for that. Had to talk about it. We're going to jump right into baseball as the first part of Two for Tuesday happened as the baseball team took on App State in Charlotte, and my God, can we just not have nice things? Because that stream on SEC Plus was awful. I'd rather have the one camera no score bug that we had at Founders Park than what we had in Charlotte. The audio was staticky. I watched the first three innings on mute. The camera was shaky. It was awful. Absolutely awful. Even the baseball team tweeted a highlight and it had the staticky sound. It was just bizarre. I don't know who's in charge of that. I don't know why we can't have nice things. I swear to God, I really do think that ESPN, there's a conspiracy that they don't like South Carolina. I honestly believe that. They rank us lower. They don't give us credit. The highlights they show of other teams are always against us, and they don't give us proper mics or cameras. Just a thing. And just as bad as that stream was, the game started pretty darn bad. Gave up a big, big first inning. Grand slam, down 4-0 right away, got down 5-0 quick, and really, it looked like all hope was lost. I mean, a lot of people were not happy that we were in Charlotte. The people still think that there's the Charlotte curse, despite the Mayo Bowl win. People forget, but it looked like it was going to be a tough go in it, and it looked like that what a lot of people feared was that we don't have a very deep starting pitching rotation. We don't have that guy you can turn to in the middle of the week. And lo and behold, the beauty of baseball shined in that it is a long game, people. And you can go down early, but you can battle back. And you get a guy in there who can settle things down on the mound, give you some quality innings. And that's exactly what happened. Carolina battled back, had a huge fifth inning, scoring 5 runs in the fifth on our own bases loaded rally, tied things up because we had one in the fourth. And then it was a little back and forth until we got some insurance, broke it open in the seventh, got one in the eighth, ended up winning 9-6. It was just an incredible display of grit, of that battle, that win anyway mentality that our baseball team has carried year over year over year. And I don't know, you know, it feels like, yes, that some of those concerns are valid, that maybe the back half of our rotation is weak, right? Maybe we do need some help. Like maybe this lineup is good, but the pitching is not quite there. I don't know. All I know is that this was an incredible gutsy win, and talk about a way to continue some momentum going. Winning pitcher Aiden Hunter, we talked about him the other day, freshman. He's 2-0 on the year now. I think he could be a guy who can eat innings for you in that middle to late relief role, or even maybe give him a shot. Starting a midweek game. I like his stuff. And guess who had the save? It's Michael Money Braswell. And he had another great day at the plate, too. The kid is just unbelievable. I don't know what to say about him. We're going to start with his highlights. He went 2-for-3, but he also, he went 1-for-3 with 2 runs. And he had the save. And he made an incredible defensive play. It's incredible. I mean, you talk about a 5-tool player, he's like an 8-tool player. Because he can freaking pitch. It's really, really unbelievable. Andrew Eister doing his thing. 2-for-3 with 4 RBI, including the nice walk in that bases loaded rally, scoring a run there. Braylon Wimmer, 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs. really good win. I mean, it's frustrating as hell, right? Cardiac Cox, whatever you want to say, it's tough, right? That was a tough win. You don't want to see that, but hey, a win is a win is a win, right? Long-ass game, though. Took forever. The basketball game we're about to talk about tipped off after the game, an hour after the game, and the baseball game ended like 45 minutes after the basketball game ended. But you can't talk about baseball this week and not talk about the damn team from the upstate who we are playing this weekend, the annual series. I can't even say their name. The team from the upstate, stupid freaking orange team, Cats. I'm not going to give them the dignity of their real name. But game one is at Founders Park. It's going to be absolutely electric. Friday night, it is going to be jam-packed. Clemson's having a good start to their year. Gamecocks, we're 7-1. They're 8-0. This is definitely fair to say that both of these teams' best test to this point. This is an intense rivalry. I feel like both schools do take pride in their baseball program. The middle game, that neutral site game that flip-flops every year, is at Segra Park in Columbia. So effectively a second home game. And then the third game concludes in the upstate. So going to be a big-time matchup for you here. Going to see what this team is really made out of. There were some moments, some wild pitches, some bad at-bats that App State had in that midweek game that I fear won't happen against this team and really the teams moving forward, because outside of the midweek games, this starts a big, big stretch going against Texas, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. We're in it. We are in it. The honeymoon phase, the appetizer of this series is is largely done. So my crow to the series is, can you stay disciplined at the plate? Continue to do that. Manufacture runs. Have long at-bats, because you want to try to get into that bullpen so that second and third game harder. And then also, like, who on this pitching staff can step up? Someone else needs to step up. Will Sanders is going to do his thing. So I want to see that again. We talked about that against the series of George Washington. But if we can have two or three guys step up in that mid to late relief role, who knows? Because our offense can hang with anybody, I feel. Early in this season that we have seen that. So it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. I hate the damn team from the upstate. Any chance to beat them is huge. Just win the series. Win at home, win in Columbia, and then go to the upstate playing with house money. That's the game plan. Let's go, Cox. I'm going to be cheering them in all the way from up here. Let's be loud. Let's be proud. It's going to be a hell of a series. Now, moving over to basketball, talk about another frustrating, heart-palpitating cardiac Cox win as the Gamecocks beat Mizzou on senior night. Home finale, 73-69, they beat Mizzou, and it was exactly that. I mean, the first half, we were up 30-24. Early in the second half, it looked like we were going to pull away. The announcers even said so. And also, another bad stream. It was two bad streams. It looked like there was fog on the lens of the freaking camera. Like, it looked smoky. It was just tough. And the audio was ahead of the visual. Again, just bad stream, good result. That's the theme of this 2 for Tuesday. Bad stream, good results. But a couple of key players here for you here. Devin Carter, he really showed up in this home finale. 17 points, but really had some excellent play late in the game. Driving, getting and-ones, making shots. Frank designed some plays to go to him late in the game. So while at times this year he has shown his freshman-ness, if that's a word, I am very excited to see what Devin Carter can bring to the table next year and beyond. I think he could be a huge, huge piece for us. Jermaine Cousinard with 17 points and a very nice performance from him. James Reese, really cool tweet from him that he said he was incredibly humbled and excited to play his last home game in college in his hometown from Columbia area. He ended with 13 points. And Keyshawn Bryant, high and low game for this guy. He had a monster jam, as he loves to do, posterized two guys. But then he also had an incredible wide open dunk that he just, I don't know, doinked it. doinked it off the back of the rim. It was a tough look for him, but nice win for the boys here, and it assures that 500 or better record in the SEC. You're 9-8 in conference, 18-11 overall, and it's tough because when you look back at this season, the conference play, it's remarkable to say they are where they are now. That was an incredible turnaround. They really did feel dead in the water. I know I've said that before, but this is a very, very impressive finish to end either with a winning record, with an upset, or 9-9 on the year. But it is tough to look back at and see 18 wins right now, and you look back and you see Princeton and Coastal Carolina. Two games early in the season that were head-scratching losses. Princeton, little bit better of a team than Coastal. And I know against Coastal we were not full strength. And I know this team had a couple of transfers, so you're still gelling very early in the year like you were against Princeton. But, man, we have 18 wins right now. You have those two games back. You're a 20-win team with the potential 500 or better regular season record in the SEC. You know, I'm someone who always is like, well, basketball's a long season. Don't get too down those early season losses. Like, no. It matters. They absolutely matter. It might not be that quality quad one win, whatever that is, but look where we could have ended up. That's the stuff that, assuming Frank is staying this year now, which I do feel like is the case, that's something that is that needs to change. That is a pattern that we have seen from Frank dropping inexplicable early season losses, and hopefully next year that's not the case. But we still have a game this year. As the Gamecocks take on the Auburn Tigers Saturday afternoon, beautiful 1 p.m. tip. Auburn having a hell of a year, currently ranked fifth, at one point ranked number one in the country, dropping two as of late, maybe stumbling down the stretch a little bit here, but tail the tape here, man. They are a damn good basketball team, averaging 79 points per game compared to our 72, while only allowing 67 with a rounding compared to our 70 with the rounding. So their average margin of victory is massive. Massive. Whereas ours is itty-bitty squeaker. But when you look at this team, obviously Jabari Smith, freshman, is electric. When they beat teams, they really tend to beat the crap out of them, at least lately, right? Put up 94 against Vanderbilt, 75 against A&M. They can score, and they can score in bunches. But their recent losses, their squeaker tight games, 67-62, 63-62. Now, if this game can somehow become a squeaker, if this game can somehow become a gritty tight game, Carolina Gamecocks right up our alley. Our average margin of victory is about 2 points. We live in squeakers. We love it. Squeak like a duck. What? Like the duck in the bathtub. I don't know, man. It's been a long day. So, but my quote of the game here is exactly that. Can you slow Auburn down, mix up the defenses enough to try to bring down to our level? So if it can get into that 70 to 75 point range, right? Don't let them get near 77, 80 points. Can't let that happen. And then we'll see where we end up at the end of the year. Now, moving over to the women's game, and then we're going to wrap this up. The women are in the SEC tournament. It is a very exciting weekend for the Gamecocks as we are trying to go trophy hunting. Their game is Friday at noon. We don't know who they're playing yet. As I'm recording this, I have to record a little bit earlier than normal. So you'll be listening to this and you'll say, Tim, what are you talking about here? So we're either going to play Arkansas or Missouri. I don't know who it's going to be as of now. And to be honest with you, I think we're going to be able to handle our business coming off of a break. If it's Mizzou, which is our sole loss, I think that would be a way to avenge that. And I think it'd even give the team more momentum going into it. If it's Arkansas, we've handled our business against them. And I think that when you play through Boston and Destiny Henderson, I think that we can handle our business, at least in this first round. Saturday afternoon, hopefully we're there. And Sunday afternoon, hopefully we're there in the championship game, looking to bring home the first trophy of March and hopefully on our way to a second. So my Crow to the tournament is do what got you here, right? You have Aaliyah Boston. You're kind of going to go through her, but lean on the depth that we have. Victoria Saxton, right? Bree Beal, Destiny Henderson, Zaya Cook. The list goes on and on. Letitia Amy here. Use your depth, wear down teams, and that way, in the late second half of these games, our defense and our depth and our fresh legs can carry us longer and farther than a lot of these other teams. So hopefully, Sunday afternoon, I'm recording, and we're singing We Are the Champions, but I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, and Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please, wherever you listen to the podcast, like, subscribe, leave reviews. I appreciate them all. We have a big, big weekend. Nonstop action. Let's root them in. Wherever you are, let's go, Cox.